If you would turn in your Bibles to Psalm 145, we're going to go back to the Psalms just to begin this morning. But happy Mother's Day again. We're going to probably say that a few times. We're delighted that you're here. I am very, very, very grateful for my mom's influence in my life. And I can only speak from my experience. And my mom's name was Beverly Bernice Peterson when she was born, and she was raised in a Christian home, and I'm grateful for that. And her mother and father loved the Lord. My parents married in 1950, and I was born in 1958, and the Bible and Christ was a big part of my life growing up, and I'm very, very grateful for that. It was very traditional when we were going to bed at night to get in bed, and then mom or dad, who had a chair sitting right by the bed, and they would sit in that chair, and we would, you know, fix me? Thank you. Very good. And they would sit in that chair by the bed, and we would pray. And we'd pray, you know, as kids pray, we'd pray for all kinds of things. And then we sang. And we had this litany of songs that we sang. I don't know if you ever heard of the song, "He Owns the Cattle on a Thousand Hills," or "It Is No Secret," or "Like the Woman at the Well," or songs like that. And we would sing until I think mom would probably say, "Okay, that's enough singing." And we would sing together and then go to sleep. And that was just the routine of my life growing up, and I'm very grateful for it. In fact, it's interesting that those simple little songs that my mom, and once in a while my dad would come in and be part of that, but those simple little songs, they still resonate in my mind, and they still impact me in my daily walk. You know, the song, "He Owns the Cattle on a Thousand Hills," talks about the fact that God does own everything, and he is able to provide for you. And the mercy of God, the song, "Like the woman at the well, I was seeking for things that could not satisfy. And then I heard my Savior speaking, draw from the well that never will run dry." And those songs, I would encourage you, whatever songs you have, gospel songs, choruses, worship songs that you have running through your mind, those are great discipleship tools. And I'm grateful for that. And you all have your own story about your mom. I am thankful for life. So, you see on the screen here, there was a lady named Anna Jarvis in Philadelphia, whose mother had organized women's groups to promote friendship and health. She originated Mother's Day. And then on May 12, 1907, she held a memorial service at her late mother's church in West Virginia. And then within 5 years, virtually every state in the nation was observing Mother's Day. In fact, I've learned that Mother's Day is celebrated worldwide. And so today, on this Sunday, people are celebrating. And then in 1914, President Woodrow Wilson made it a national holiday. Maybe it was Woodrow Wilson and Hallmark cards and Conway Florist. I don't know. Maybe they were all in on it. But it is. It has been a very, I think, a precious holiday. You moms deserve it. I'll tell you what, the Bible, we're going to talk about it today, but the Bible, God was so clear in his design of husband, man, woman, husband and wife, family, that there would be great impact from the mom in the family on the children. And it is true. In fact, when we think back and we think back to our own experience, how important your mother was to you. I just wanted to say that the creation and influence of the mother in Genesis and in many other places, there are, like Roland said, there are hundreds of verses that mention moms and mothers and wife. And God gives us the original design for the role of the mother. So in light of those things, and maybe I could just set the stage. In light of the fact that God created Adam, and then God created Eve, and then he told them to be fruitful and multiply, and he talked with them about family, and he talked about them about the importance of family. Right in Genesis, it says, the man shall leave his father and mother and cleave to his wife, and the two will become one flesh. And it says, the man and his wife were both naked and unashamed, and they felt no shame. And I think that's the beauty in the marriage relationship. There's so much to be said about that. But you guys, God established man and woman. God established marriage. God established the family. God established the influence on the raising of children. And man, Satan is doing everything he can to erase all of that design. I mean, we're seeing it over and over and over again in our society, how the enemy is erasing the design of the family and even of individuals along the way. So in light of God's design in marriage, I would like to read Psalm 145, and I'm going to talk about the first verse before I read the whole thing. The first verse says, I will extol you. So this is the psalmist talking about his relationship with God. You have a relationship with God. You have a perspective. You have a way that you look at Scripture. And what is that way? How do you see God in his word? Is God to you just the one who provides the things you want when you need them? Or is God so much more the foundation, the sustainer, the essence of your salvation completely? And it says in Psalm 145:1, I will extol you, my God and King, and bless your name forever. And I would like to say to you that we should extol God and bless his name forever because of the way he made us, the way he designed us, what he had planned for our purpose. We should be extolling God in that way. So let me read these words of Scripture. And would you stand with me, and we'll honor God's word by standing and reading these about 10 verses. Psalm 145, I'll read to you. I will extol you, my God and King, and bless your name forever and ever. Every day I will bless you and praise your name forever and ever. Great is the Lord, and greatly to be praised, and his greatness is unsearchable. One generation shall commend your works to another and shall declare your mighty acts. On the glorious splendor of your majesty and of your wondrous works I will meditate. They shall speak of the might of your awesome deeds, and I will declare your greatness. They shall pour forth the fame of your abundant goodness, and shall sing out loud of your righteousness. The Lord is gracious and merciful, slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love. The Lord is good to all, and his mercy is over all that he has made. All of your works shall give thanks to you, O Lord, and all your saints shall bless you. Father, thank you for the psalmist writing these words. May this be our experience and our practice between us and you, O Lord God, that we would see the greatness and the majesty of your handiwork, not only in creation, but in the creation of us as man and woman in marriage and family and children and so on. God, we praise your name. Just teach us from your word, I pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. 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 You may be seated. I was just going to say, I might have already mentioned this, but Rory Remenek yesterday at the memorial service for Peggy, he said to me, Peggy was a Proverbs 31 wife. And he said, I didn't deserve her. And we'll see the end in Proverbs 31, but the description of the wife and mother of the Proverbs 31 woman was a woman who revered God and loved God and walked with God and obeyed God and cherished her family. So back to this, kind of looking at Psalm 145, it just says, all your works shall give thanks to you, O Lord. And I just wanted to point out these things. There is God's way in the world. There's God's way. So each of us have a choice. We wake up in the morning and we can choose to do things God's way, or we can choose to do things our way or the enemy's way. But there is God's way. And then there is a way of man. There is the way we can just set God on the shelf and put God's, in fact, the world has set God's way on the shelf. Man, all the stuff we're seeing now in the news is just anti-God's design and God's way. It is a curse the way people are treating man, woman, marriage, family, and so on. There is an influence of the world. We see it everywhere we turn. I can't even imagine the kind of things that we're seeing in the news where they're parading sin in front of our children in public schools. It is just absolutely just unbelievable. There's an influence of the world. There's an influence of the devil. And the devil wants you and I and the world not to believe God, not to follow God, not to experience God's blessing. In fact, John 10 says that the way of Satan is death and destruction. And that's where he's leading people. And then there is the unbeliever and the believer. And so we're in two different categories. There are those who follow Christ, and there are those who reject Christ. Each chooses a way. And you have chosen a way. You have chosen to follow Christ, right? So here we are, and we're exposing ourselves to the Word of God. And we have chosen to follow God. And then Matthew 16 says, Jesus told his disciples, if anyone would come after me, let him take up his cross, deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. And so we have a decision. We have come to a crossroads. We have chosen God's way. And so the admonition from Jesus to us is, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. And in these areas of man, woman, marriage, family, children, We are following Christ. That is the way that we live, because it's absolutely God established marriage and family. So just some observations, some things I want to briefly talk about on this next page. And there's a whole bunch of words, so you might be able to discern them. So from eternity past, God's design of man, woman, marriage, and family is flawless. It's perfect. God's design is perfect. And you take us who are men and women and future husbands and wives, and we take us, and if we follow God's plan, God's way, you're going to experience blessing from God. Now, all of us here have made mistakes, and all of us here have, in thought or deed, we've done things that have caused pain and consequence in our life. But the truth is, God's design is flawless. It is life-giving. It is purposeful. It is complete. It is nurturing. It is honorable, and it honors God. So just to rehearse, God's beginning design of man, woman, marriage, family, and children was perfect. Secondly, the perfect creation and the perfect righteousness and fellowship with God, enjoying creation. When God first unfolded the creation and Adam and Eve were there and in fellowship with God, it was perfect. And, you know, some have wondered, how is it going to be when God recreates the world? And, of course, it will be perfect as well. And then there was the fall. The fall was, it was born out of disbelief. It was born out of rebellion when they disobeyed God and ate the fruit. And that caused separation and it caused a curse. It also caused a strained relationship. You know, when God was, it says God was walking in the garden, right? And it says he was calling out for Adam and Eve. And what were they doing? Why? And they were naked and they realized that because they were now what? They were separated. They were guilty. And there is a separation that happened at that time. There was a strained relationship, a broken relationship. They said, I was guilty. And then as a result of that, God eventually casts them out of the garden. And then the next step is there is redemption. You know, this beautiful picture when they were naked, and it says God then brought an animal skin and he covered them. And that is an example of the covering of Christ, that Christ will eventually, for people who choose to believe and trust in God, that they would be covered. So this picture of redemption and salvation. And then there are these pictures of redeemed roles. So Adam and Eve lived in roles before they disbelieved God. And I don't know exactly how those roles were played out. The Bible doesn't give a lot of description about how Adam and Eve lived prior to that time. But after the fall, there are new roles. And in those new roles were difficulties. God said to Adam, by the sweat of your brow, you will work. By the sweat of your brow, you will provide for your family. And he said to the woman, you will deliver children and there will be pain in childbirth, right? So these were their roles, but they were roles that were now living in a world where sin was present. So there were new roles that took place. And then in God's creation of male and female, the design for marriage in Genesis, did I print this scripture? I just want to see if you could go ahead to the next slide, please. So this is a very familiar passage of scripture to us, but just let me say, this is the word of God. This is what God said. So you think of everything you're hearing on CNN or everything you're seeing on YouTube or everything you're seeing in the world's context out there and match it up to this. God said, let us make man, and that's mankind, in our image. We are made in the very image of God, after our likeness. Then let them have dominion. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him, male and female, he created them. Is that clear enough? This is what God's word says. This is what we believe. And actually, this is what brings blessing, is understanding this. Verse 28, and God blessed them. And God said to them, what is the first thing he says to them? Be fruitful and multiply. You are going to establish this marriage and you're going to establish this family. Be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth and subdue it and have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the birds of the heavens and over every living thing that moves on the earth. And then if you could advance to the next slide. This is Jesus' words, and you've seen these and you understand these, but Jesus is speaking to the some folks that are asking him a question, and he responds with this answer. He says, but from the beginning, so this is Jesus talking about creation. This is Jesus talking about these moments of creation. From the beginning of creation, God made them male and female. There are only two genders. There will always only be two genders. That is the way God made us. From the beginning of creation, God made them male and female. Jesus says, therefore a man, and I love this, shall leave his father and mother and hold fast to his wife. I hope you can see the design of God for marriage right there. The two, the father and mother, and hold fast to his wife. The two shall become one flesh. They are no longer two, but one flesh. And look at the third word in the next verse. Therefore, what God hath joined together, let not man separate. So when it comes to the marriage ceremony, when it comes to the wedding, when it comes to the commitment that this man and this woman have made, who is the one that joins them? What God has joined, let not man separate. And so we have this God-ordained, God-initiated, God-made relationship. That's what the Word of God says to us. So on this next page, again, a number of thoughts here that I'd like to just talk about. And again, from eternity past, God's design of man and woman, marriage and family is flawless. It is life-giving and purposeful and complete. It is nurturing and honorable. Let's just walk through this with me. God provides covering. We really already said this. Let's go to the second point. The vital role of the believing, God-fearing mother who nurtures godly children that please God in this rebellious world. Now, that probably doesn't sound like a complete sentence, but if you put it together with the title. So this honorable God design that he made, and then we have this vital role of the believing people, the God-fearing mother who nurtures godly children that please God in this rebellious world. And so really, that's what godly mothers are called to. And, you know, so all of us have to say, okay, where are we at in life? When did we come to Christ? Where are our children now? What influence have I had on them in the past? I think we need to take this scripture and this thought at this very moment. What is your influence? What is your mentoring for your children now? And so you have the privilege now to be influencing them through prayer and through words and through support and through, you could think of all kinds of different things. But it is a vital role. On the third point, I just wrote this, the threat of the loss of the vital feminine investment in a post-maternal environment. Now, I don't know if that made any sense to you, but there is a threat. We are in a war, and the idea of being a nurturing mother, leading their children and influencing other women to be godly women and godly nurturers, that is being cast away. I called it a post-maternal environment. We have things like feminism, gender issues, competitive attitude, independence, and rebellion in the home. And I'm not talking about the kids being rebellious. I'm talking about the adults being rebellious in the home. So let me just talk about that very briefly. So the threat of the loss of feminine investment in a post-maternal environment, how damaging do you think it is for our society that children don't have godly maternal influence? Think about the kids who are being raised without Christ. Think about the kids who are being raised and discipled by television and by culture and by influences from the enemy, is it any wonder? Is it any wonder that the kids think the way they do and are in the shape that they are in? Now, these words, these are big words, and I can't speak to them. I'm not ready to speak to them. Feminism. I'm just going to say feminism is a result of a lot of sin and chaos in our world. That women weren't treated with honor and respect and care and love and nurture, being loved like Christ loved the church, so that they had to come to the place where they had to stand up so strongly for themselves because the men weren't standing up for them. But feminism has consequence. There's an attitude with feminism. Lots to say. Gender issues. We're just living in a time right now where gender issues are huge. People, young people especially, think that they can be other than male and female. And they're being taught that whatever they feel like, they are. And people now in the news and other places are beginning to mock that. You know, they're beginning to say, well, if you feel like a dog, should I treat you like a puppy? Or if you're an adult and you feel like a baby, should I treat you like an infant? And so on and so on. I mean, you're getting away from the realistic and God-designed purpose of us as individual people, and you have these gender confusion situations. And then I just wrote this word, competitive attitude. God made us. It says, God made them male and female. He said to them, be fruitful and multiply. God said to us that the husband and wife would be drawn together in marriage and they too would be one flesh. And the goal with the one flesh is that they would be a complete unit and that they would be in harmony with each other and strengths balancing each other, strengths and weaknesses, not in a competitive relationship. It's not you against me. It's not husband against wife. It is two people, and I realize that's why I said in a believing home. You know, if you've lived in an unbelieving home or you've lived in an ungodly home, you know there's all kinds of challenges. But it's not supposed to be competitive, at least where you're trying to one-up each other as husband and wife. It should be a union. And the idea of independence. You know, it's interesting how God calls us to dependence. God calls us to be dependent on one another, not independent from each other. And then the idea of rebellion. And it's interesting how isn't it in Proverbs where it says seven things God hates? I didn't look it up. But the first thing is, you know, a proud heart. And a proud heart leads to rebellion. So just some simple thoughts about those things. So again, we live in a worldly, secular influence, and Satan is a liar. He's been a liar from the very beginning. And then the next one. God designed submissive roles for men and women to result in, and I love these words, you guys. They're just, God designed us to be in submissive roles, man and woman, to result in a completeness, a worshipful environment, to be vibrant and healthy and godly, to create families, beautiful families and homes. And then lastly, we are to love God's way and reject the secular godless way. I don't know how kids are going to make it these days. I was having a discussion with a person the other day, and in a really good way, I'm going to talk about the school that meets here on Mondays called Living Liberty. I am so blessed that those families meet here with their kids. It's one opportunity for the families that are being that are involved with that school to be in an environment where they are believing God, living and promoting the things that are godly. It really concerns me. And, you know, we got people in public school where you guys have to be missionaries in the public school to stand up for the things that are godly. And our kids, they need our prayer desperately. You know, in a homeschool environment, you have people where moms and dads are choosing to make the sacrifices that it takes to teach those children writing, reading, and arithmetic along with godly character, which is the best environment. And what has happened in our environment now, in the public realm, our kids are being subject to so much as you say, trash or something like that, but just anti-God thinking. I was there's this thing that's kind of roaming around on YouTube or Instagram, and it's this guy who's advertising his lawn business, all right? And when he's advertising his lawn business, he goes up to a yard that is completely overgrown with weeds. And you can't see anything. There are just weeds coming up. Maybe there's a fence in there. Maybe there's something in there. And he comes up and he offers to the people, hey, for free, I would like to clean your yard. And then he starts in with a weed eater and a mower and a shovel. And what happens is he clears away all the trash, all the weeds, and he exposes what was originally underneath. And I think that's what we need to do for marriage and the family, is we've got all these weeds growing up and everything. You can't even see what it was supposed to look like in marriage and family and raising your kids and loving your kids and teaching them about Christ. And we need to come in with shovels and weed eaters and just clear it out so we can see what the original design was. So on the next slide, submissive followers of Christ. The submissive follower of Christ is a new creation. And this is what we do. We believe God's word, not what the world says. The submissive follower of Christ acknowledges what God declares and what he values, not what the world values. The submissive follower of Christ invests and nurtures a truth in your own heart and the mind of your child. So you are nurturing the truth in yourself, and you are nurturing the truth in your children. And the submissive follower of Christ invests in the lives of younger believers, training them up to God's glory. And that's really what our purpose is. I heard Pat Mann teaching her kids in here for Sunday school, and they were talking about how Timothy was influenced by his mother and his grandmother, Lois and Eunice. Do you remember that story? And he is, Paul is writing to Timothy, and Paul understands that Timothy as a child growing up was nurtured by his mother and his grandmother, who knew the scriptures and taught Timothy what it meant to follow after Christ. So, simply, the believer's purpose and goal, we read in Psalm 145:10, all your works shall give you thanks, shall give thanks to you, O Lord, and all your saints shall bless you. And so, I just want to invite you to bless God, to give praise to God for his glorious design that leads to blessing and glory and honor to him. It's a beautiful thing that we can do that. On this next slide from 1 Timothy chapter 2, Paul is writing to men and women in the church, men and women who have chosen to follow after Christ and believe God and not believe the world. And Paul says to Timothy, I desire then that in every place men should pray. So men, let's just talk about you for a minute and me. Paul says, I desire that in every place men should pray. That would be a vital part of our Christian walk and life, that we would be praying men. Praying men, and he's designating, he's not telling the women not to pray, but he's saying, men, be about prayer. Then there is this humble symbol, lifting up holy hands without anger or quarreling. So we're talking about the character of a man, the character of a godly man who should be like this. Then it says, likewise also that women should adorn themselves in respectable apparel with modesty and self-control, not with braided hair and gold and pearls or costly attire. Now, I would like to talk about that generally. That what is Paul saying to the women? Don't be about showing off. Don't be about external, temporal things. But rather be about what a God-fearing woman should be about. And maybe in that day and time, braided hair and costly jewels was a show-off kind of a thing, or a shallow kind of a thing. And God is calling, Paul to Timothy is calling the church of people to be about a sincere and intentional relationship with their God and their Savior. I desire that men in every place, that in every place men should pray. And just take that for back for a minute, guys, that we be praying. So you can pray with your eyes open, or you can pray with your eyes closed. You can pray while you drive. You can pray while you talk. You can pray while you're in the middle of a discussion. You can pray asking God for wisdom to know how to lead your family. You can pray for your children. I can pray for all these things. It says that they should pray, lifting up holy hands. And by the way, I know that lifting up holy hands, first of all, we're holy because we're in Christ and we're righteous, and so we're holy because of that. Why would we not hold our hands up? Honestly. I don't know if we have to hold our hands up. But this is a sign of humility. This is a sign of honor and respect to God. Lifting up holy hands. I'll tell you why I wouldn't hold my hands up. Because I don't want to be a faker. I don't want to hold up because I don't want to draw attention to myself. But I think Paul is calling the men to have a humble relationship with God, where they're dependent upon God and they're reaching to God and they're asking God for help. It says lifting up holy hands without anger and quarreling. And it's interesting that he would mention those two things, because anger and quarreling can be a pretty easy place for a man to go. And God doesn't want us to go there. Likewise, that the women should adorn themselves. So they're adorned with something. Peter says, adorned with a meek and quiet spirit. Adorned with things that give honor and glory to Christ. I think in our day and age, you can braid your hair and you can wear jewelry and you can do things like that and have this very God-fearing attitude. Likewise, women should adorn themselves in respectable apparel with modesty and self-control. And those are two words that speak for themselves. And by the way, these are just direct instructions to us. modesty and self-control, not with braided hair, gold, pearls, or costly attire, but with what is proper for women who profess godliness with good works. Let's jump to the next slide. So let me just say that today's Mother's Day, and my mind was about thinking about the family and thinking about marriage and thinking about man and woman and children and the family in general, and thinking about what God's call to us in those roles should be and how we should behave and what we should be committed to. And when we make a mistake and we're not doing this stuff, then what do? We do what every other believer does. We repent. We say, God, I know you've forgiven me. This behavior is wrong, and I want to do behavior that is giving honor and glory to you. So it says in 2 Timothy or 1 Timothy 2, let a woman learn quietly with all submissiveness. And I just want to say again, I preached a sermon a couple weeks ago about submission, and the idea is that God calls everyone into submission. The men are called to submission. The women are called to submission. The young people are called to submission. We are called to be submissive to God. That means that we're going to be submissive to our spouse, men and women. Kids are going to be submissive to their parents. There's even times where parents are submissive to their kids. There's an attitude of healing and nurturing and care and unity in the family. But here it says, let a woman learn quietly with all submissiveness. Paul says, I do not permit a woman to teach or to exercise authority over a man. Rather, she is to remain quiet. And these are the words of Scripture. It's now Paul speaking about Adam and Eve and that first situation. For Adam was formed first, then Eve. And Adam was not deceived, but the woman was deceived and became a transgressor. And both of them became transgressors at that same time. It says, yet she will be saved through childbearing if they continue in faith and love and holiness with self-control. I would like to just camp on that verse 15 for just a moment on the screen where it says, she will be saved through childbearing if they continue in faith and love and holiness. And I would like to combine all the other scriptures, and there are hundreds of other scriptures that talk about the influence of a mom in their children's life. She will be saved through childbearing. I don't understand, I'm sure I don't understand all that Paul is talking about here. But she will declare her faith and trust in God as she bears children and she teaches her children to have faith and trust in God. And then it talks at other points where it says, older women teach the younger women in these same kinds of things. And I was actually listening on my way home from the memorial service yesterday to a person who was teaching in the Legionnaire Ministries with R.C. Sproul, and it was a woman talking about the mentoring of younger women in the church and how they had a specific training and teaching so that they would raise up these godly young women who understood this role of submission before God and in their families to be able to nurture children that love Christ. So the next slide, and I'll begin to wrap this up. I just wrote, Christian wives filled and led by God the Holy Spirit, and I chose to put those words in there, God the Holy Spirit, they are honored to be a helpmate to their husband who is seeking to obey and follow, to obey, follow, and honor God. Okay? So, Christian wives who are led by God the Holy Spirit, they are honored to be a helpmate to their husband because they understand the roles that God has established. I hope that makes sense to you all. That's what God calls us to. God calls me to love Willie June like Christ loves the church. God calls Willie June to be a helpmate to me so that we together can honor Christ and honor what Christ has put in our lives to do. We are partners. Galatians tells us that we are absolutely equal when it comes to our salvation and being in the cross, but we have roles to fill. This is what the Word of God says. Wives are honored to be a helpmate to their husband, the husband who is seeking to obey, follow, and honor God. Christian wives led by the Holy Spirit agree with God on the blessing and joy and lifelong investment of children. So the man and woman, but the husband, the wife agrees with God that bearing children and raising children is the blessed design of God and will bring you blessing. You know, it's interesting when, who's the black man that ran for president a few years ago? Ben Carson. When Ben Carson gives testimony about his mother and his mother investing and training and teaching he and his brother, they credit their mother for the success of their lives. And I'll tell you, the influence of my wife upon our four children is absolutely remarkable to me. I mean, I'm glad to have been part of the process. But I'll tell you, my wife's impact on those four lives, I can't imagine what their lives would be without their mom. So godly Christian wives, led by the Holy Spirit, agree with God on the blessing, the joy, and lifelong investment of children. These same women nurture godly homes, creating an environment where God is praised and children are raised up to believe and follow God in trust and lordship. These same choose to be industrious, to care for, to invest in, to provide, to sacrifice for, and nurture their children. And these same Christian wives, filled and led by God the Holy Spirit, raise God-fearing children who observe, and this is, I know these are strong challenges, but here's what our kids do. What I wrote in this last one was, these women raise God-fearing children who observe your godliness, and they hear your humble heart for God, and they watch your sacrificial obedience to God, and they hear your confession and humility, and they see your costly discipleship. You see, our kids, right? You watch us, right? Our kids are watching us as parents, and they see our commitment to our God and Savior, the God and Savior that we say is our Lord and Master. And they need to see in us. And you know what, you guys? I know that we can all look back and we can feel possibly shame or discouragement about things we've done in the past. Think about this as a starting point. Today, May 14th. Think about May 14th as a starting point to say, yes, I want to be this kind of person. And this could be man or woman. That our kids, when they look at us, they see our godliness. They see our humble heart for God. They watch our sacrificial obedience. They hear our confession and humility. They see our costly discipleship. Man, if our kids need anything, they need to be able to look at their parents and see humble people. Humble people who love Christ and follow Christ. I think I'm just going to close. It's more of the same. My pages are more of the same. I'm glad for us to be here on Mother's Day. My goal was not to cause anyone to feel any negative guilt or... But our world is watching. Our kids are watching. Our grandchildren are watching. And we have chosen, we came to that crossroads in our life where we chose to follow after God and not follow after the world. Since we're on the road of following after God, this is our call. This is our mandate to be people that our children and our grandchildren can look to. Does it say that we are to be perfect? No, only Christ makes us perfect and Christ makes us righteous. But we are people that are willing to be obedient. We are willing to sacrifice. We are willing to admit when we're wrong. We're willing to say to our kids, this is the cost of discipleship. This is the cost of following Christ. Would you pray with me? God, I want to thank you for your perfect design. And even though we live in a world that has hidden your perfect design, like those weeds just amassed over the sidewalks and the fences and the bushes, you can't even see what the original design was, Lord. And that's, the world is just distorting the picture of man, woman, marriage, family, children. But God, we know the truth. We know who you are. We know what you've designed. We know how beautiful it is under all those weeds. And help us be willing, Lord, to get the weed eater out, so to speak, and the shovel, and just get rid of all the weeds and junk that mar our ability to be able to see the truth of what you have designed. God, I thank you for life. I'm glad my mom had me, and I'm glad everybody in this room was born, and they are here now walking with Christ. And Lord, I pray your blessing on every woman here, because every woman here has great influence, great mentoring ability. And I pray for the moms who are still raising kids that you would bless them as they have an everyday challenge to balance all of these things. Lord, those that have raised children and the children are gone, that we would be prayers, pray for our kids and our grandkids. Lord, our kids are growing up in a world that is so confused. Lord, help us to nail down the truth, live for the truth, model the truth. And then, Lord, I just ask your blessing on the future for all of our families here at Pioneer Bible Church. Just would you bless our families that we would be honest about these biblical, beautiful designs, and that we would ask your help as we live for Christ. Lord, thank you for this Mother's Day, and thank you for the privilege of life. Use us to your honor and glory, I pray. Teach us from your word. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Amen.